The Up With The Bonnets podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Unicorn Cleaning Services. They offer a range of facilities from domestic and commercial cleaning, which includes lets and Airbnb, and also offer ironing and laundry services. You can find a link to their website in our Facebook and Twitter bios. You can also reach them by visiting their Facebook page, or you can contact them by visiting their website, unicorncleaningservices.co.uk.
Coming up on this week's episode, we'll quickly look at Dundee's exit from the SPFL Trust semi-final at the hands of Rathfarnham Penalties. Then we'll speak about Dundee's win against Cove as we bounce back in the league to go second. We'll also be looking at this Friday's game against Morton at Capello, which is live on TV. And we dive back into the archives with the D-Archive to see what happened on this day. Hello and welcome to the newest episode of the Up With The Bonnets podcast. I'm your host with the most, Daniel Smith, and with me as always is my co-host with the not as most as me, Paul Dre.
All right, Danny, how are you? You all right?
I'm really good on this really fine evening, Mick. We've just seen Dundee win. We've seen Dundee miss a penalty again, but the main point is we've seen Dundee win. So this is what could have been an unhappy podcast because of the game during the week. It's turned into a really happy podcast.
A nice cheery one.
Yes.
And I fixed my chair as well, so it stops creaking.
You got that old WD-40 on it, I guess.
WD-40, wee bit elbow grease, good to go. Watch this, it's going to creak like mad now.
Oh, like your bones.
Oh, yeah. But 3 points, that's it.
That's it,
that's
mate.
That's
all we needed. But listen, before we kick off, we're just a wee shout out to the Longest 40 for the event that they hosted for Douglas Youths on Saturday night. Obviously, it was the evening with Charlie Adam. It was a really good evening. Charlie was in fine form as well. A lot of questions, a lot of in-depth answers. And also, he promised again that he's coming on the podcast. So we will, we're in the process of arranging that. So, he will be told he can say whatever he wants. So it was the best ones.
You're going to tell him?
He'll just tell me that he's saying whatever he wants.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, he, like you said, he was on some of the story. It was just, it was class, like absolutely class. You had to be there, like it was brilliant. It was just cool, man. It was just cool. Like you knew he was just relaxed and chilled and just, it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. You kind of gathered that he doesn't really like Strachan, but
yes, so we'll kind of maybe keep that for the interview with the podcast.
Yeah, we'll keep that.
Yeah. But fair play to him because he was training during the day and then drove up, 4 hours to Dundee to do a 2.5 hour interview and then was away back down south again. So fair play to him and he was back in training today. Sunday.
Class.
We record this, so yeah, fair play to Charlie for doing that, and we will hopefully have him on soon for all you fine listeners to listen to.
Ah, well, we'll do, yeah. Come on. When will it be, though? Ooh.
We'll get him. But listen, we'll kind of speak about the BBC Alba game on Wednesday. It was looking good.
To Benita.
Paul, I see your face there was scrunching up, but we're going to have to touch on it. It was looking good. Dundee were producing some of the best football you've probably seen them produce this season. Should have been way out 4-5-0 at halftime. True Dundee fashion, we decide to gift Rafe 2 goals and they get popped out on penalties again in another competition. I mean,
what more is there to say?
I know, we can pick up on personal performances like Lyle Cameron, absolute man in a match.
Oh, incredible.
I mean, he had that sewn up in the first half of anything. And his second goal, an absolutely like complete team goal. It's probably one of the best goals that you'll see at Dundee this season.
Thing of beauty.
It's just a pity that it wasn't a thing of beauty on the winning side.
Yeah, it was a bit... the game should have been done and dusted before half time. Should have been.
I mean, some folk are going like, we're not that bothered because, you know, want to concentrate on the league. Nah, I'm absolutely gutted that we never got through the final. You know what I mean? It was just the manner of the defeat that was, it was pretty poor. But like you said, 2-0 up, coasting, Lyle Cameron playing like he was Barry Bannon, you know, unbelievable. According to Boyer, fucking hell, he could have said something like Xavi or Zidane or something, but he goes, he was like Barry Bannon.
It's a good comparison, that one. He's no...
Is it because they're both 5 foot?
It's exactly what it is. He's went purely at the height.
5 foot and blonde. He was unreal. Like, he was just unreal. Like, just the way he drops back into the, like, almost defence to pick up the ball, to play a pass forward. He's just... he's, like I said in this chat, he's streets ahead, like.
Probably he was pinging passes across the field, like, what a fucking 50 yarders or whatever. I mean, probably about that, but it was absolutely sublime, some of the passing he was doing. It was like watching Charlie Adam, except he's about 2 feet shorter. He's got blonde hair. He's got hair, yeah.
He's about 5 stone lighter.
Yeah.
Sorry, Charlie.
But it was just a fantastic performance from a player that has came on leaps and bounds this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, we will dive in and speak about Cameron later on as well. So kind of move away from that just now.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, it was enforced substitutions, maybe substitutions that didn't need to be made as well. Mm-hmm. That caused the defeat, because we lost our shape, we lost the desire, we lost the press, the high tempo that we had. And especially in the attacking, when we're closing down defenders and keepers, and also start losing the midfield battle. But we still had chances galore, even after they went back to 2-2. But hey-ho, it was rough, that one. I mean, you didn't like seeing, I know people say, I'm not too bothered, but I didn't like seeing the Riff fans celebrating at the final whistle like the cat's meow, to be honest. I hate seeing that, eh? So, but fair play to them. They're in the final. That's all I think we'll speak about that game. It's a missed opportunity, like you said, to have a wee day out.
Yeah.
I'm probably not as gutted as you. I was gutted losing the penalties, but the next day you're just like, well, if we won, then I think the game against Partick would have been moved. So there's another maybe fixture congestion happening.
I'm not buying this fixture congestion, man. Professionals should be able to play twice a week. We've got a big enough squad to do it. You know what I mean? I'm gutted because I obviously want Dundee to win trophies. I want them to win something. Do you know what I mean? I wanted it for the players and and the fans, obviously. You know, get a wee day out and that. It would have been brilliant. But you're absolutely right. Like, I think the subby Ashcroft, I mean, it looked like he had a wee knock and that, and that just changed Dundee completely.
Aye, it was an enforced subby, that one. Mm. So. We did lose our shape at the back when he went off.
I seen somebody say it. I thought it was bang on. Like, the subbies that were made were like subbies for a pre-season friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you know what it's like when you watch like a pre-season friendly and they bring on other subbies and the game just goes to pot. That's what it was like. It was bang on. But anyway, look, it's done and dusted. We missed the penalties and all that kind of crap, and these things happen.
Yes, it's a game that I can easily forget about now. We've spoke about it on the pod. We've gave it 5 minutes. That's all we need to give. Speak about the game today against Cove.
Yeah.
What a shitey first half that was.
Oh my God, man. I was nearly sleeping.
But that was more, I think, Cove. Cove were like doing their time wasting. They were taking forever to take throw-ins, goal kicks, anything. And as soon as Dundee were on the attack, it was every man behind the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, but Dundee got caught in with, they wanted us to get caught like that. So we were, when they committed men either, it was just dire, you know.
It was a non-event. Like the first half, it was a non-event. And like literally nothing happened. But the second half,
boom.
Immaculate. Yeah. Immaculate.
It was quite pleasing to see, obviously, the substitutions. Robinson and Yakubiak came on, and what a difference. I would like to come on and say that Jakubiak, since he's came back, what, December, has been, is it, maybe not a revelation, but like...
We've got a new signing.
It's like a new signing. Because I had him sold. I had him gone. I had him and Sheridan gone. I was like, what are they giving to this team? But Jakubiak, it's just like he's found his feet now. Again, it's like 3 years into his tenure with Dundee, but it's like he's just like, he's producing what we were expecting from him. But him and Robinson just changed the whole dynamic up top and gave their defence something to think about, because I think they had Kwame Kerr. See, I'm calling him by his given name of the pod. He was isolated up top and never done much. So,
how many free kicks did he win? Like, there was boys like literally manhandling him. Mm-hmm. And he was pretty poor for a striker, but for a boy like getting you 30 yards up the pitch, winning a free kick, I mean, if you like that kind of thing, then I thought he'd done pretty well. But he was probably right to come off. And McCowan, I thought McCowan, he kind of, I don't know what it was. It was like he was shying away from things, you know, just like disappearing and stuff.
It wasn't his best performance.
But the subbies, to take them off, like it says, you know, first half non-event, second half immaculate, yeah. But it's another game where first half been stinking, then Bowyer's made a change at half time and boom.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't understand why you kind of just go out like the way they did in the second half. You know, start for the minute one. You know what I mean?
I think
maybe that's just me.
More direct players came on.
But Jakubiak was class, man.
Yeah.
But Zach Robinson, just the way he holds the ball up, the way he rolls boys, the way he turns guys and runs at them. It's And what is he, 20? It's frightening. Like, he's an absolute player.
Like you say, Thomas, he was trying to hold the ball up, but he never had that. I don't know if he's been told not to dare or just hold the ball, but he's not got that turn in him the way Robinson has.
He's burst of pace.
And he's got like the physique and the strength to not have to bother about turning with the ball and somebody taking the ball off him, because he's like basically pushing him aside. So like as soon as they came on, you seen a difference, especially in the attack, and like you say, it paid off. Robinson, he's going to get that goal. It's going to go down. I think the SPFL body got it on their site. I know there's a wee thing saying it took a good deflection of Fox. I think somebody said it took a couple of hits off defender's legs, but I've not seen the replay yet because it's not been put up on DTV.
I've only seen the photo. Yeah. And I watched a wee bit for a wee boy that did the Cove like YouTube thing. Can't remember his name, but anyway, I watched that and you can't really see it from that side, but well, you can kind of. It's like he's just got to the byline, you know, low and hard. And I think the keepers just went down and it's took a nick off a defender and then it's took a nick off the keeper.
Mate,
Robinson's goal.
I mean, see if it wasn't his first goal for coming back, I would love to have gave that down as an OG to Scott Fox, who was being an absolute dick with his time wasting for the first minute onwards.
First minute.
It was like
you just knew that they were just there for a draw. It was just negative football. Didn't offer anything to the game at all. No standouts. They were shite.
It was the time wasting that got me. That just really like annoys me anyway. But it was, I mean, when we got the second goal, then you've seen them, oh, let's get going. And then Dundee started doing what they did, taking their thing. And then half the players were bailing about it. I was like, get that fucking right up here.
When I was at the game, I was thinking the exact same thing, because I was like, oh, you never see Dundee really doing that. Like, Legston's was taking his time with the goal kicks and stuff. And I was like, fair play, get it right round you, Hartley. You know what I mean? His tactics basically backfired on him. Unlucky, you greasy mink.
Fuck's sake. I guess we'll never be asking Hartley to come on the pod then.
Nah, I quite like him though. But he needs to wash his hair.
He needs to do a Robbie Nielsen and shave it.
Yeah. Oh no.
Listen, we've spoken about Robinson's first goal. Let's speak about Jakubiak. the second goal for Dundee. Robinson had a chance a couple of times just to blast that and score, but he gave it to his mate.
Unselfish.
Yes, and that's, I liked that. I liked seeing that because he could easily have, like say, took that and scored it, but no, he's gave it to Jakubiak to get his in goal, which was fantastic to see.
Cool as fuck.
Just team play, kind of, just that kind of wee bond between them, I think. I think you could look good. It'd be good to see that from the start of the game, obviously when Robinson is fully match fit.
Yeah.
I think they look like they're going to hit something special together up top.
Dangerous, like.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lethal, it could be a lethal partnership.
It's the first cliche.
Then many more to come. But nah, that's what it is. Fuck off. Fucking, that's one. like you said, Jakubiak, when he came on, he looked lively. Robinson, mate, he changed the game. He changed the game in 10 minutes. And I'm not being funny. Like, see when he went down and he was injured and he wasn't looking that great, everybody just took him off.
Oh, I forgot about that. There was a big hush.
Everybody just took him off. Everybody just brought on Toley and then that would have been it. Done. He'd done more in that like 7-8 minute spell than what was done in the first half. He changed the game, but I mean, obviously, it's a team game, not one man. You know, wins you the match, but you know, he effectively did. To be fair,
Speaking about Tolaj, when he came on in the game on Wednesday. I'm going to be honest, I thought he was absolutely honking, right? I think he went a run with the bar and forgot the ball at one point, and then...
That was a dummy.
He dummied himself. He dummied everybody.
He was leaving it for the fullback.
Yeah.
Like, you bring it, mate.
And then he went to take on a boy, and I think he tripped over the ball. And I was like, to my dad, fucking hell, what's this? And then all of a sudden, I think it was an extra time, he picked two, like a 60-yard pass right onto McGowan's chest.
Brilliant.
And also, McGowan never... finished it, he squandered the chance, but I thought, oh well, go be that then. And then he stuck a wise penalty good as well. But he gave me the... Barry Bannon comparison, but I thought Tolaj had a wee hint of the David Ginola, just purely on his look.
With his curly locks.
Yes.
Vidal Sassoon.
I've got a wee playboy on my hands here.
I thought he looked all right.
It was just the first couple of attempts that he made. I was like, Jesus.
But anyway, like I was saying, like even at the slightest hint of Robinson being injured, I would have just went, right, mate, off you come. Like, because he didn't look that great when he got back up, and then he kind of slowed down and he was kind of out of the game for about 10, 15 minutes. I would have just went, right, you off. You've done what you need to do in the bath. See you later.
Well, thank God Boyle's the manager and no you, because he put on a good shift and bullied that defence.
Yeah, he did. What a player. Like I said, and just the way he holds, like you said, like in comparison to Thomas holds up the ball, but nothing really kind of happens, but with Robinson, he holds up the ball, but he rolls the guy, he turns him, he just creates himself that wee 1-2-3 yard space. He's just, what a player, like, what a player.
Love him as well. A lot of love.
Turn of the sack. Sorry, man. Nah, I genuinely love him, man. He's unbelievable.
No, but it's good to see him get the second half. I felt like Wednesday was too much for him, like too soon. He maybe could have had like the last 20 minutes or something. I thought he fared well. Like you say, when he went down holding his knee or whatever part of the leg it was, you were like, oh, jeez, jeezy peeps, man.
I hate that, yeah.
I'm just trying to think of anything else that you didn't like getting said.
Loads. Honestly, there's an encyclopedia about the size of my flipping flat, the things that I hate. top of the charts are the Arabs.
Always top of your chart, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
It's the only thing they're top of just now anyway. But anyway.
You're funny.
Listen, we had the chance to get a third goal. Lyle Cameron. bundled over in the box. Straight away, he was just grabbing that ball. He was taking that penalty.
Give me it now.
Dundee's record on penalties just now isn't the best. I think somebody said it's 6 misses in the last 9 or something, or 6.
I think I might have seen 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10.
And, yeah. Oh, but Boyer's like, we've been practicing. Have you? I think you have.
It wasn't a bad penalty, to be honest. He put it into the corner. The keeper done well to save it, but we really need to start putting away these penalties. But
we do.
It was good to see Cameron not. He kept going. His performance never dipped. So that's another thing. That's, I remember spoke about him in the St Mirren game, thinking maybe he missed the penalty against St Mirren, thinking a good character building. Well, he's definitely going to hit a hell of a character after missing that penalty.
He's just going to go. Whew.
Yes.
In orbit, man. He's just like, I love the fact that, well, I love how you've pointed out, and you noticed it as well, that when the penalty was won, okay, yeah, he's won the penalty. You should technically, like, that's my ball. Give me the penalty. But it was just the way he was like, he just bounced up. Give me that ball. It's mine. I love seeing that. Shite penalty, though. Needs to work on that, Lyle. Come on now. But no, I didn't even think it was that great penalty. Good height for a keeper, but take nothing away from the keeper, Fox. Any save for a penalty is a good save. Apart from Callum Ferries the other week, because that was literally a shite penalty for McMillan. But it was a good save. But I was kind of wondering, is his head going to go down? But that was like for a split second. Because after that, he just picks himself up again. He just covers every blade of grass. He's just...
You just see him, he's constantly finding pockets of space in that midfield all the time, and he's just stringing the passes together. I mean, because he's not got the height, so he's got to find other ways to better his game, or can like make an impact. And that's what he's doing. He's not that he can, like, maybe his height's an advantage for him, because he can just like go under the radar a wee bit.
It's mad. Me and the old boy after the game, like, we went back to the pub and had a couple of pints, but like, Danny, I'm sat here with a coffee and the iron brew, because I'm feeling a wee hangover coming on already. But like, it was mad. It was like kind of like every second ball, like the second ball just seemed to land at Lyle. And some folk will say that it's luck in that, but it wasn't it. Like, he was anticipating where that ball was going to go, and he was getting it 9 times out of 10. He's just, I mean, some say that, you know, the earth is covered by 70% water. The rest of it's covered by Lyle Cameron. Brum-chi.
That's all we have time for this evening for the Bonnets podcast.
It's a fucking fact. He's just, mate, I love him, eh? Stuff, I'm actually in the process of setting up a wee mandate with him. We're going to go for a wee coffee. Wee Henry's Coffee House.
You're catfishing him.
He'll get a decaf. With his young laddie.
Fruit shoot.
Yeah. Wee Capri Sun. Nah, he's, what a player, like, what a player. Just going back to what we were saying there, like, even missing the penalty, he just picked his game up even more. He was just more determined to do well. He was more determined to get the team forward. I've said it again, he's streets ahead of boys. He's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I actually think that was his 8th goal this season. Let me just double check for you, because...
You know, that's funny, because I was actually going to ask you that, seeing as you're the Dundee Encyclopedia. Be interesting to know what his goals to game ratio is, because it must be high. It has to be.
Well, it's his 8th goal in 25 appearances, but obviously a lot of them are from the bench as well. Now, on the website, on the D Archive website, it does have a games to goal, but I'm actually on the mobile version, so I can't really see it.
Well, that's good for you, yeah.
I apologise about that. Oh no, actually, there we go. Games to goal. This is absolutely riveting podcasting, isn't it?
It's brilliant. Because, see, for me, it feels like he's like 20 games, 10 goals. That's what it's like. Mm-hmm. That was two against Wraith. Then he's got a goal again today. I mean, three goals, two games. He's just, he's fucking class.
I didn't think when they say the start, it looks like it's 0.28 goals per game.
Not bad.
Is what it is.
Is what it is, too.
I mean, that's his eight for the season. I mean, a lot of them have came in the League Cup, but he is finding the back of the net, and he found the back of the net, and it was another great goal, and it was good to see everybody. I mean, I think it happened in all the goals that Dundee scored today. All the players were around each other. Like, it wasn't just a case of couple of boys celebrating at his back. Like, all of them were the players, and especially Lyle, just purely because I think that penalty miss must have given him a wee extra pat on the head for that. Not the miss, the goal.
Yeah, the goal, obviously. And then, obviously, Dundee put out a photo, and it's like, well, I think it was obviously Robinson's goal, but like Robinson and Jakubiak, like, hugging each other, maybe Jakubiak's goal, and it was just, mate, it was just cool as fuck. I love it. I love seeing a pure proper togetherness. Yeah. But I noticed that obviously we're speaking a lot about the forward guys. I mean, for me, I thought that boy Maguire, I thought he had a really good game as well.
I was just, I said that awfully quickly. Let's drop back a position and go into the midfield. Maguire, yes. Excellent game.
He was class.
I don't know why, I just think like every game he starts, it's like the first 5 minutes. He just needs that to get the pace of the game, and then off he goes. One of my mates, TV Patillo, sitting behind me, he says to me, like, who would you give man in a match to? And I was like, well, probably Cameron. Like, yeah, because I thought he was involved with basically everything. And he was like, I would have given it to Maguire. Just put in a shift.
I wouldn't have disagreed with him at all.
You're probably right. He would probably in for a good shout for that.
What foot is he, that boy Maguire?
Well, I think he's right, but he always
plays with his left. Both feet, centre mid, picks up the.
When you said what foot he is, I was going to say 6'1". You meant he's actual height.
I would have said what height he was, but anyway, no. But like he says, you've noticed that as well. He plays loads with his left foot. Mm-hmm. Was he right? But then he plays stuff with his right. He's a two-footed centre midfielder, sprays a pass, picks up a ball, tackles boys, goes for wee runs. He's another player,
Mm-hmm.
I think, obviously, Motherwell are in the dumps just now. They're on a downward slope, but I didn't really watch them because I didn't pay attention to that league and that. But they could probably do a player like him. So it's an absolute steal. It's an absolute steal for us. He's another good in.
I mean, when he first joined, a lot of their fans were glad that he left.
They were.
So you automatically think, what have we got here? But
I'm sure I've seen quotes saying, soft as shite.
I mean, that's one game that he absolutely like went in for a tackle. Like, he was winning that one. Like, that was a hard as fuck tackle. And even there, today, I think you heard it all over the stadium. Him and another player went for the ball and he blossomed it. And the yeah you heard was fud and he got the ball.
Yes, I love that. I love that.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he felt that when he got back into the dressing room later on.
Probably.
But didn't he flinch? Didn't he give them anything? Didn't he give him an inch?
he was another good player. And Sweeney and Ashcroft, I thought they had a great game as well. Mm-hmm. They had a really good game. I think they work really well together. I think you take one of them out, it kind of could go to pot, but the two of them together, they're good. Very good.
Sweeney made so many runs from the centre of defence up front, but as a true defender does, they absolutely shite themselves when they get up to that D or getting close to that penalty box. Yeah. They ran out of ideas half of the time.
Nosebleeds.
The thing is, he was finding the space. Like, a big opening in the midfield, he was finding the space and he got it. But yeah, he's final ball. I mean, he's a difficult defender. You get the ball, you get rid of it. So when you've actually got to think about doing something creative, you're fucked because I played defence and I never got that far. Yeah, I just panic and just punt the bar.
True. I can hear my chair creaking now. Obviously, I've no fixed it.
And welcome to our special guest this evening. He's making a comeback, Paul Grace, squeaky chair.
Squeaky chair, creaky chair. Sorry, guys. I'm just hearing it there. Overall, very good team performance.
Yes. It was Sam Fisher again. I didn't see him as a right back for some reason, but again, no looking at a place there. He did have a wee nervy moment in the second half when he played the ball right to the Cove player. But
yeah, I don't know what he was playing at there. He'd done the hard part. He won the ball. All he had to do was just kind of just boot it to the park like he'd been doing the majority of the game. But then he cuts it inside. It's a fucking great ball. It's a great ball.
Ah, amazing. Yeah. Yep. Just he's just lucky that Cove are up, like dung me up front. So they never done the hummy up. But
Did you see the whole fisticuffs in the box?
No, I couldn't really see it from where I was sitting. But at one point, I did think to myself, I seen Dundee player grabbing a Cove player, and a Cove player grabbing another Cove player. And I actually thought to myself for a minute that the Cove players were at each other. That's my initial reaction.
Kind of from where I'm sitting, it was like we were virtually on the halfway line of the derry, and it was like Cammy and Mitch Meganson were having a wee go at each other, and then it just kind of escalated a wee bit, and it was getting bigger a bit, and then all of a sudden one of their players just ran into Robinson, like out of nowhere. He just ran into him, and it was like, what's the ref doing here? Like, he's not controlling it at all. I thought the boy was going to get fucking hooked there and then.
Mate, like, literally. That's the thing with the ref. He blew the whistle, stood like, what a good 10, 20
40 yards away.
Aye. And just let it continue and escalate.
I did not get the ref today at all. Get him. I've seen, what's his face, McCowan having a good go at him a few times. You know, whenever there was a goal kick. And the referee, first referee I've ever seen doing it, standing off the pitch.
My dad picked up on that, yeah. And even when the ball was played after the goal kick, he was still off the pitch.
He's still off the pitch.
It's a weird thing.
Very weird. But even before that, like it says, like a couple of times McCowan was turning around to him and giving him like shite, like going, what are you on about? Like, and I don't know. Weird, strange referee. Very, like, I honestly felt like I was in Dundee Uni today. The amount of lectures he was given.
You're on top for the night, Paul. Paul Lowe.
Maybe you should take a couple of beers more often. But honestly, like, I don't understand why referees do that. They should just go, do that again, you're booked. That's it. You don't need to sit and speak to them and explain the rules of the game. They're fucking professionals, you know what I mean?
I do not understand refs at all.
At all?
Yeah.
Napier, what's his name? Craig Napier or something.
Yeah, he didn't have the best of games.
No.
He was constantly moving Dundee players back on free kicks and throw-ins as well.
Yeah, didn't get that. Or telling boys, like, go back 5 yards for the throw-in, but then the boys run 10 yards and then take the throw-in. That baffles me, baffling.
Yeah, and even, like, you even hear a word with Scott Fox. I kind of said that I'm not going to sleep tonight because I have time wasting. 1-3-0, but he's got me.
Yeah, he has. But look, Arsenal. Mate, it's 3-0, could have been more, but it's 3-0, it's, obviously, and I'm going to say it again, it's 3-0, clean sheet, three points, that's all we need, I would have took a scrappy 1-0, even at half-time, obviously, that non-event in the first half, but even turned to the old boy and was like, look, I'll take 1-0, no bothered. Genuinely no bothered, but the way we came at the traps in the second half, if we do that more often, we will blow teams out the water. We will. And fuck it, we're going to win the league.
We've just got to get that consistency, haven't we?
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I was going to say about Fisher, it was pointing out to me that after he made that bad pass, that McMullen went right across to him and like gave him just a wee pat on the back, a wee pep talk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
that's cool. Like,
please for that to happen because a young laddie playing, like you say, first team football, if you make a mistake, your head can go down.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good to see somebody there just going across to them. Just say, like, it's fine.
Just reassure them and just go, look, keep doing what you're doing, mate. Fucking brush it off. That's it. Yeah. That is it.
You've made the mistake. Class. You'll not do that again. Hopefully, no. But yeah, it's good to see players like that doing it.
Can you imagine if Paul McGowan was on the pitch, though?
Die, you just kneecap him.
You'd stick the head on him.
You'll not do that again, kid.
With no legs.
Yeah.
Nah, that's cool. I'm glad I missed that. I love seeing stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want to see, like, kind of experienced professionals bringing on the youngsters like that. I love that stuff. Yeah. I think it's cool as. Didn't let it get to you. Didn't let even like the boo boys get to you. Just brush it off and just keep going, man. Mm-hmm. Keep going. That's that.
Yep. So that, this victory moves us up to second in the league.
Yeah.
So we're kind of getting there. Obviously, there was a game yesterday. Queen's Park, Morton, or Morton Queen's Park, because it was at Capello, and Morton done the deed. Done a good turn by beating Queen's Park 3-2.
Brilliant, eh?
So now, and that's us 1 point behind, one game behind. It's back in our hands, Paul.
It is. And then we've got to play Partick Thistle. And they're dug, mate.
They gave a good account of themselves today in the Scottish Cup.
I don't care.
But it's a Scottish Cup, isn't it?
Bothered. Another diddy cup, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't care. Like, that's great. They can go to Ibrox and their fans can sing for the entire 90 minutes. I honestly don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, when it comes to the league, we're about to give them a doing. Mm-hmm. But then, obviously, Morton beat Queen's Park. I was quite surprised at that, if I must admit. And I think it's like Morton's first win in like six or seven games or something in the league, something like that. And that shows how much they've just fallen off a cliff, which is absolutely excellent.
Yeah.
Get it right round you, Dougie.
But cheers for that, Dougie.
What a guy. He's back on the Christmas card list. Geez, it's February and I'm mentioning Christmas. I think that's funny. It's for next Christmas.
But listen, that's the gap now happening. It's Dundee, Ayr. Oh, we'll date in the order. Ayr, Dundee, Queen's Park. Then I feel like the rest of them I'll be fighting out for that fourth spot.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because I think all three of us at the top, I'll pick up points. I really can't see anyone going on a bad run of form just by looking at the way they've been playing and the results.
Yeah.
No doubt one of them will. Hopefully two of them do, to be honest. But it's between Dundee, Ayr, Queen's Park for this title, I think. I think your Morton, Partick and Rafe will all be fighting it out for that fourth spot. I think Cali winning in the cup against Livy. After getting put out of the cup for Queen's Park.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. What a result, by the way.
Fantastic result for them. You kind of hope that that's them concentrating on that because I mean, the cup draw's not been done yet, I didn't think, recording this pod. And also, it's a quarterfinal of the Scottish Cup. It never really bothers us because we're never in it anyway. So we really pay attention. But you do hope that they kind of get a no-bad draw because you want them hitting their mind elsewhere.
I just think it's mad with Inverness. Like, it's won, what is it, in the league, it's like five games. They've won two, drawn three, but they're still like, what, third or fourth, bottom, seventh. Mm-hmm. It's mad. Like, we've said it since day one that this league is absolutely bonkers, and it is. But I think you're absolutely bang on. It's us three, obviously Dundee Air and Queen's Park. I think it's whoever stays the fittest. I think that's it, but I personally, obviously, dark blue sunglasses, we've got enough about it.
We've got the depth, and we've got this. We've got the ability and skill and the depth as well, I feel.
Correct.
It's just making the correct substitutions and the personnel
finishing teams off. That is it. We've got to finish them off.
Number one right there, Paul, finishing them off.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all we've got to do. It's as soon as we got the third goal against COVID, even at 2-0 up, I was like, we're not losing this.
It's a dangerous scoreline.
Yes, it 100% is. But like, It's cliche, it's not left and centre here.
What happens when I go to the game with the old boy. Like, honestly, like, he'll say something, then just give us a wee nudge, and then I'll say one, and then give him a wee nudge.
See, one of the cliches we've now used, I think it was the number 29 that came on for Libby, the big striker. He's an absolute unit. I love that one as well. A unit of what?
Of course, only knows. That's brilliant. Oh, what are we even talking about, man?
I didn't come up with just doing this point.
I have no idea. You're speaking about kitchen units and stuff.
I'm pretty sure we've finished the Cove game. I just didn't care what we've got in between that.
Oh, I've got absolutely no idea. We've done the Cove game.
We've done it.
Who have we got? We've got Martin next. We've got Martin next.
Ah, Martin, Under the Lights in Capello. Mm. It is a Friday night game, 7:45 on BBC Scotland.
And quality.
I've checked this, by the way, before it came on. So we definitely are on TV for this one.
100%?
100%. 110%.
I'll take your word for it.
Pack it to the bank.
That'll be good, because like the should we play them at... what is it? It's Capello, is it? I keep forgetting. Yeah, it is Capello. I don't know why.
We've played them twice this season, and it's been goals drawn, both of them.
Yeah, there was a 0-0 at their ground, mm-hmm. and it was one of the worst games of football I've seen. And then the 0-0 at Dens was possibly the worst game of football I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it was purely down to the way Dougie Emery set out that team.
Correct.
You know what? The tactics he used on both of them, it worked. He got a point against us, and maybe that's what he was aiming for.
Kind of like Cove.
Yeah, so he set out and he got the point, just totally killed the game of anything.
It was just, it was pish. It was honestly one of the worst games I've ever seen. 0-0, stinking. So watch this game on the TV, be 5-5, something like that.
It's a massive game, so I'm pretty sure Queen's Park are also playing that night. I'll just double check. Yeah, Queen's Park are at home to Raith as well. So
2-0 Raith.
There's that, yeah, it's that potential now to actually go top of the league with the game in hand. Yeah. But then
times, eh?
When we're looking forward to situations like this, it never works out that way.
No.
We'll get shot on.
I think I've decided that no, like, fuck it, no predictions, none. Let's just stop doing that, Danny.
No.
Stop
doing it. This is going to be a tough game.
4-0.
And a tough venue. I'm making the doubts about that. This is going to be a tough end. So it's, I think this could be a game as well that Lyle Carman's just going to, like,
run riot.
Yeah, this could be made for him because he, like I say, he's the boy that's finding the pockets of space. He's the boy that's spreading the passes. He's getting goals. This could be it for him. Like, this, you can see him back on the score sheet for this one.
You're going to put your money where your mouth is?
No, nope. I'm not a gambling man.
No, neither am I. Mm-mm. Yeah, not at all.
No, but it is, it will be, it's, like I say, it's a good opportunity. Let's hopefully we can do what we'll have to do and riff. Well, after they win against
favour.
Yeah, I mean, well, they've just beat us on penalties. They got into a final. Then they went away and smashed Motherwell at him in the Scottish Cup. Mm-hmm. So they will be riding a high right now.
Yeah.
So you've got to be hoping that they take that into this game.
Even if they take points off them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a draw.
That's it. A wee draw. Like, and we just win our game. And that, like, mate, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Mm-hmm. And if, I mean, if you didn't even take points off them, just take a few boys at the game.
That's all you've got to do.
Mm-hmm. I've said before,
especially that boy Savory, just fucking put him in the stand. That's it. No, I wouldn't wish any, you know, like, but yeah, put him in the stand.
Nah, nothing bad, just sprain his ankle, put him out for a few games or something. And something that a bag of peas, frozen peas on the ankle, doesn't he sort it?
For about 4 weeks, eh?
Put a stud in it.
You're a bad man.
None that leaves a mark. Look, I'll settle on that.
Stick them in the kidneys.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot actually. So,
what? You're selling a kidney?
No, I've got a bone to pick. You wouldn't want my kidneys.
No, I mean, no, definitely not.
No, for the younger years anyway.
No, what?
But Ayr United has done me a massive disfavour, but maybe done everybody else a favour, because up until their game against Elgin in the Scottish Cup, I was booked in for hospitality for the 11th of March for my for my birthday. So my birthday's on the 7th. I'm going to go for the 11th like I normally do. And I was going to enjoy myself. We had Ayr at home, but Ayr decided to score a 90th minute equaliser against Elgin and then win 4-1. So that means that the quarterfinal gets played on the 11th. So that game's cancelled. So everybody, I'm not going to hospitality.
You know what, I was speaking about this the other day, like, and Danny, I'm not being funny, but if you go to hospitality again and Dundee don't win, what'll that be? That'll be 10?
10.
10. That should be it. That should just be it.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be though.
No more.
It's like,
there's boys even willing to pay for you not to go.
I'll talk. You've got to show me that silver and I'll not go.
Can you not just pick like a fucking pre-season friendly or just someone?
No. If this curse of the hospitality is going to be broken, it's going to be broken on a game that's like a title decider or something.
Oh, for fucking yeah. Well, fingers crossed.
When that happens, then I'll just go into the players' dressing room with champagne myself. I'll part the team. Be part of the team at this point. I'll be saying it's no use that I've won it. It's me. I broke the curse.
Bouncing into the changing room with the champagne.
Next thing you can, Paul McGowan, header.
Kneecapped.
Zach Robinson bodying his out.
He would. He'd destroy you.
I didn't come up. We got to do this.
Ah, you were speaking about like the Ayr game and Elgin and.
But anyway.
Anyway.
Ayr fucked that, and I'm not going. So, and I've decided that I'm not going to rebook it either. So, that's me for the season. Done.
Pap.
Yeah. Until I book Cove. Last team game of the season.
Yeah. Oh no. nah, you'll be fine. You'll break the hoodoo at one point. Don't worry.
I'll go 1 point. Oh. But listen, this podcast isn't about me, Paul. It's about Dundee.
Yes. One of these.
And there's no better website out there than the D Archive.
Oh ho ho.
That was good, wasn't it?
Oh, you honestly, you should be in media.
It just comes off the tongue.
It just rolls, yep.
And half the time when stuff rolls off my tongue, it doesn't come off like that. Exactly. Yeah.
What the fuck is this podcast? It's brilliant. I'm loving this.
Wait a minute, I've just noticed your name on this.
What?
Your mum. Every podcast, Paul puts something on his name. And it's normally just something silly like fucking Paulio or something like that, or polio, I think again, and now it's your mum. It's getting personal, isn't it?
Sorry, mate. Can't believe you've just noticed that. Nearly 48 minutes into recording. Oh, brilliant.
It's because your personality's been shining through in this podcast this week that I've just not even...
That's a
tunnel vision. I've been unaware of everything else except your face on this laptop.
I just want to say a big shout out to Danny's mum.
Moving on. So, the D-Archive.
The D-Archive.
So, we've got the 13th of February, obviously, 1993. We played St. Johnstone at home. And we were managed by Simon Stenrod and... said manager Simon Stenrod scored the only goal of the game.
Class. What a guy.
Yes. I keep meaning to chase him up about the podcast because he still said he was coming on.
He's tremendous. Like, mm-hmm. Just a genuinely proper class bloke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Proper, like, good-looking bloke.
Oh, he's a handsome guy.
Yes, he is.
Oh, wow.
Fair play to him.
Fair play.
So, 14th.
Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there.
Valentine's Day, yes. And what better way to celebrate Valentine's Day than reminiscing about Paul McGowan scoring in the 91st minute in 2015 and a 1-0 victory against Partick.
Oh, man. Couldn't think of anything better.
And also, I'll just double check it. Was that Paul? It was Paul McGowan's first ever goal for Dundee.
What was that?
Mm-hmm. I always meant that was like a 2-yard tapping or something.
So what?
I think the game was just dire. Nothing happening. And then also we piped up in the dying seconds. McGowan. And this is when he actually had hair before he lost it and then regained it.
And he brought it back. What an unbelievable.
It's almost like an 8-year anniversary of when he had hair. Like, not fake hair, like real hair.
Actual barn.
No hair that they've like transplanted into his chest or something onto his head.
His arse.
Yeah. So, the 15th, what have we got here? 2-2 against Morton in the Cup, 1997 at Capello. I don't know why I picked that one, to be honest.
Absolutely no idea either. What the fuck?
Warren Hawk scored a penalty in the 3rd minute for Morton. Lee Power equalised in the 54th minute. Warren Hawk again, 75th minute. And Ian Anderson equalised with 6 minutes to go to take the replay back to Dens. I think it was replayed on a Tuesday. And I never bothered picking that one because they beat us 1-0.
Oh, incredible, Danny.
So, this one, you're like this saying. So, the 16th, we signed a young Bobby Glennie from Aberdeen for $12,000.
Money well spent.
Money well spent, indeed.
Money well spent. Imagine Thank getting you. A centre half like that nowadays for $12,000. Flapping heck.
I know.
Run through brick walls for you.
I think he made 388 appearances for the D. Mm. Only 6 goals, but I think I've only seen one of his goals, and it was the goal against Aberdeen.
Oh,
absolute! I mean,
thunder bastard!
Thunder bastard! That's it. I think we actually got papped in that game. I think he scored the goal and it just upset Aberdeen. And in the '80s, you didn't want to upset Aberdeen because they just trounced you.
Let's just no speaking about that. Just think of the goal. Just as well, there was a net there because that ball was just going.
Just think of the goal. It's like that David Brent in the Office. With the quiz. You've seen that one? That's a real quiz. No,
oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well then. I'll just get this podcast finished, because it's obviously we've got nothing in common.
We've got Dundee in common.
That's on the Shugley Pied right now. Right, so the 17th, we travelled to Ibrox. It was a Sunday, and it was in the Scottish Cup 4th round, and we pummeled Glasgow Rangers 3-0. Jockey Scott and John Duncan on the double.
Class. When was that? Sorry, mate.
74.
Brilliant.
It was minus 11.
I don't know.
And so on to the last one. Now, this one, it is also the 18th, 1939. That is how far I had to go back to pick a win on that day for Dundee.
Seriously?
Yeah. So the 18th of February has been like shite for Dundee.
It seems it for nearly 100 years.
Yeah. So we beat Kings Park 3-0. I think that was a Glasgow team. Obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, but I'm pretty sure if there's anybody that went to that game, they're not going to kind of have to use anything like Spotify or that, so they'll not be listening to this. So somebody will just take my word.
That's ageist.
I'm an ageist person.
All these technophobes out there.
Yes. So look, who got the goals? Archie Knox, obviously. Johnston Melville, he popped up with a goal. Big Johnny. And Bobby Wilson.
Class.
And that's that. That's all I had for that day. Because we've been absolutely horrific.
That sums it. When's our next game?
Well, that's it.
I think that's it.
Well, that's it for this week.
We've done well.
We've came on. We've laughed. We've tried about games. It's been emotional. It's been an emotional roller coaster, this pod.
I told you I'd be sober for it.
You've slagged my mum.
Oh, yeah.
And that was your sober. So I've seen the real you, because you've actually come on sober. I've seen your true personality shine through, so... Kind of say I like it.
Sorry, mate. It's the coffee and the iron brew, that's just, you know... Lethal combination. Kind of like me and you.
Certainly is, I. But Paul, it's been a pleasure as always.
Absolutely.
We will be back next week when we go over what happened on TV for Dundee away to Morton, and hopefully we're speaking about our win and going top of the league. Hopefully, but maybe no. But on
we'll
that
soon
note,
find out.
Yeah, we'll soon find out. We'll soon find out. But on that note, I'll bid you goodbye, and we'll speak to you next week.